A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, happy Saturday, everybody. Happy Saturday, Betsy.
Happy Saturday, Dan.
Is it? You don't sound like it.
Well, I don't feel like it either. I haven't felt like it for about a week. We had that Inspired Color and Design event. And of course, that made me sick because that's what happens when we always have big events. I end up
sick. Why is that, you think?
I don't know. The stress and the anxiety and just lowers my immune system.
I'm glad that I don't get stressed or anxious ever.
No, never.
I am just the epitome of calm.
Yeah.
But anyway, because Betsy is really not feeling it, and we don't know how long your voice is going to last.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
And we didn't have a ton of time this week to put things together. We're going to run one of the things we don't like to do, and that's a best of.
Yeah, but they're good best ofs.
We generally like to give new stuff every week, but this week we couldn't.
Yeah.
So we're going to revisit some of our favorite segments from the past, and one of them is something that I had a lot of fun doing. It was my Audio Emporium of Brilliance.
Yes.
I talked about a number of paint things that I thought were utterly brilliant.
Of course.
And in my inimitable way, my can't-be-imitated way, I screwed it all up, just like I did
that. It happens.
So it was a lot of fun.
Yes, but before we get to that, we're going to discuss how to make your decorating work, no matter what decorating level you may have already achieved. And it was a great segment, really fun, and it's definitely worth revisiting.
But first, one of my favorite segments was about carpet cleaning. Now, I never really thought carpet cleaning would be a lot of fun, but John Schremser from FiberCare was really a riot.
He was.
Here's that interview from August.
John, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we were talking before we sat down for this interview, and you were telling me about this special piece of paper that is behind glass in your office. And I think the listeners need to hear the story.
I have a thank you note from the White House dated early 2005 for working on cleaning a couple White House rugs.
That
I just
is
love
so
that.
Cool.
And the first thing I wanted to know is, do you still have jars of the White House dirt sitting around on your shelves? But you said you took pictures. There were lots of things you found there.
I did. We found, well, besides gum, a lot of grease from steaks. We found some chips of glass with the gold trim on it.
Fancy glass.
Yes, yes. So there was a number of things we found, and we cleaned it up, and that we're appreciative of having a thank you letter like that.
That's very cool.
That is
and
so
I guess,
cool.
You know, listeners are going to wonder, how in the world did that happen?
Right.
Very quickly. You said the manufacturer of the rug is
the owner of the
from
Grand Rapids. Was manufactured in Grand Rapids. They've also manufactured several years ago the Oval Office rug, the presidential sealed rug.
Yeah.
And but anyways, the White House rug about 1,300 square feet.
1,300 square feet.
That is huge. That's the size of a lot of people's houses.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That
it took us 12
massive.
Hours to clean it, and then a month later, the second one came because I always have a replacement, and it took another 12 hours to clean that.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
See, that's a cool story.
That
Not
is
everybody
such
has
cool
cleaned
story.
A presidential rug.
Well, no.
I've spilled gum on important rugs, but never a presidential rug.
Yeah.
Maybe someday.
You spill a lot of
I'm
things.
Going to put that on my bucket list. Spill at the White House. I can do that.
And then make sure you call John to come clean it up.
I've got connections now.
Yeah.
Thank
behind
you.
Me, right? And clean up.
You bet.
Exactly.
Wow. All right. So, really, the reason we brought you here is to talk about spills, because a lot of us have carpet that has little spots all over it from whatever got spilled, and we don't know how to clean it up, and we just, a lot of times, especially me, end up making a bigger mess of whatever this spill was, and it just looks worse than when I started. What are some common spills that people have? And how should we be cleaning them up? Is it all the same, or is every spill a little different?
It's all specific.
Okay.
If you've got red wine, you spill red wine, for example, blot it up. Mild detergent would be fine. My suggestion is use a little 3% peroxide after you're done with that. That will is it's an oxidizer. It will work on most wools. It will also work on nylon without usually removing any dye. And that'll take care of it. I tested that just to make sure I was accurate. I did last night in my home. I spilled some red wine on a sample olefin and a wool sample.
Okay.
And this morning it was gone. So 3% peroxide will work. If not, you call a professional, of course.
Right.
Things like urine. Urine are a little more complicated. You've got this issue with whether there's a dye, you know, the yellow issue or the odor issue. So you do want to clean it. Urine within the first hour changes from a acidic to an alkaline salt. And so if it's an older urine, over an hour, 2 hours old, what you want to do is use a rinse, more like white vinegar, to dilute
white vinegar
that.
In water or just straight white vinegar?
White vinegar, 50-50 ratio.
Okay.
With just tap water. Okay. And flush it out, and that will help break up the salts.
Do we blot it back up with a dry rag? Do we shop vac up the water? What's the...
Either way. Okay. Either way. Just don't rub that, because when you rub it, you start blooming the fibers, and that makes a distortion, which changes everything there.
Okay.
And then you can, again, use a 3% peroxide on that.
And that is mixed with water again?
No, peroxide, just straight. Yeah, you'll be perfectly fine with that.
This is the same peroxide when I cut myself?
Absolutely. That brown container. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Just spray it on there. And,
I've got boatloads of that because I'm always injured.
Yeah, we know. There's like a blood trail usually that follows
and there's
you.
A lot of foam I'm using that stuff.
That brings me to the next question.
Blood. So we dealt with red wine and urine. So it sounds like a party I've been at. Now the blood.
Yep. Well, you do the same thing. Blot it up, or you can use a little detergent, or maybe a dilution of one spoonful of dishwashing detergent.
Okay.
But not your automatic dishwasher detergent. Don't use that. Mm-hmm. That might have a bleaching agent in it. You don't want to do that.
So like Dawn.
And, you know, blot it up then. And use a little peroxide. The peroxide will make the blood disappear almost immediately.
So peroxide is like the magic chemical, if you will, if you have a stain.
Does it take care of the soap? It removes the... How do we get the soap out?
Obviously, you want to extract a little bit with some... you can use vinegar on that sense, white vinegar, or with a diluted ratio. But a lot of flushing with plain water will work, too.
And that's not going to soak in and damage the pad or anything like that? Or again, am I blotting it up?
Dan, are you using a gallon of this?
Wow, he caught on quick to you.
It's funny, but children,
but
we've spilled.
So true.
Get the bucket. Fill it. Dad, we can't carry it when it's full. Oh, I'll help. Yes, I use a lot of water. I shouldn't use that much water. We're all laughing. I'm taking that as a no.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I can take a hint. Let's just get back to serious stuff, Betsy.
Okay.
Because now I've looked like a complete idiot. But I'm used
to it. How's that new?
I know. It's what everybody expects.
Right.
So we've dealt with blood, urine. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming we're talking dog urine.
And cat.
Or child.
Doesn't matter. It's all the same.
Yeah. Okay. It's all the same. My children have done that. That's very sad when you find that.
Children, he's sorry for telling that on the radio.
Because they're dancing and I'm playing a video game. This did happen. And I realized, okay, but I'm really close in this game. I'm going to just give it a couple.
And then all of a sudden
they're done dancing and we're good. And then I found it later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I'd have known about what I needed, let me see if I remember right. I don't remember. I needed water to blot it up first. Mm-hmm. Blot it up. Then what, vinegar?
A little detergent or vinegar.
And then peroxide.
Yep.
So my medical supplies. Okay. What other common things do you run into?
Well, if you've got children vomit, you can basically do the same thing. You know, the kids are, unfortunately, they get sick. And
my dog just did that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You do the same thing, a little detergent, a little diluted detergent.
Yeah.
And then I would just go ahead and put the 3% peroxide on it after that. Obviously, your carpet, a lot of different things depend on your carpet. If your carpet's new, it's going to have a protector, your carpet protector. It's going to have that shield on there. If it gets older, well, of course, you can go to the store and buy a aerosol can of 3M Scotch Guard or something like that to put it to renew some of that stuff. But that's going to give you a barrier to help save your carpet in the future. So investing in $5, $6, $7, $8, whatever that aerosol can costs is another benefit, too. You can get them at the mine.
What do you think of those? You like those? I mean, do you recommend those? Do you have a system that you recommend when you clean carpets?
Oh, I always recommend putting some type of protector on carpet. Absolutely. That comes in the mills. I saw how they put
that on there. So vomit is not a protector. So we've got plenty of that. But you're saying a real protector.
Correct.
To protect against the vomit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, now this is a personal question because...
Oh, good grief.
Stop.
Sorry.
Because it's always about your questions. Now it's my turn because I actually have something.
My questions are good.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the dog was sick, a week ago or more? So I kind of cleaned it up. I can still see the spot. Is it too late to get that spot out, and how do I get it out now?
Usually not.
Okay.
Generally speaking, the darker the spots, they're removable. If the spot is lighter than the color of the carpet, you probably have color loss.
Okay.
Okay. I do dye, spot dye, and I'm familiar with that and done that many, many times. So we always like to think that a darker spot's a better spot, and
okay,
that's removable.
All right.
So, okay.
Guess I'm cleaning my carpet.
Now, those are all kinds of common stains that we could clean up and deal with to try to make sure that our carpets stay as nice as possible, as long as possible, despite the children and the dogs.
Right.
And me spilling
and
stuff.
And you. Mostly you.
But there are so many other things I want to talk about. You have raised some questions in my mind that I want to follow. John, can you hang with us over the break and pick this up on the other side?
Absolutely.
Excellent. We'll be back in the studio with John Schremser from FiberCare in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
And we're in the studio with John Schremser from FiberCare, talking about different things we can do to make sure our carpets stay as nice as possible for as long as possible.
Right.
Because we all spill. Right, Betsy?
Yes, especially you.
It's not just
you.
A me thing.
Mostly you think,
I do spill a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about some common things that we could do to take care of our carpets ourselves. And if you missed any of that, you're going to want to come back and catch it. So listen in the podcast, go to the archives page and re-listen, because if you've ever spilled red wine or bled all over the carpet or you've got an animal.
Or he's, children.
He's dishing out stuff that I've not heard before.
Yeah.
But very easy chemicals to acquire. You probably have them in your home
And
can clean your carpets.
Yep.
But John, now I want to talk about the situations where I can't clean it myself anymore or I've damaged something. What other things do you offer as FiberCare that might help me out?
Well, you know, Dan and Betsy, I've always tried to do my best to learn more about the business.
Mm-hmm.
I've been several times, been down in Dalton, Georgia for a week at a time from advanced training, whether it be learning how to dye carpet. And if you're a retail store, you can call that side match. It was very, very, very specific. Two other things. I was a carpet inspector for several years as well. There's a lot. First of all, you want to make sure you vacuum. Vacuum frequently. Vacuum frequently. But when I say vacuum frequently, it's not just this one or two passes. It's north, south, east, west. You want to do that slowly to get, and we're all in a sandy area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to stop you for a second. Children. My children. The Hansen children. I want you to come close to the radio, turn it up, and listen. John, would you repeat how vacuuming is done?
Yeah, you want to go north, south.
North and south.
That's
on the
forward,
same day.
Yes. Yes. Forward, backward, and you want to go slowly. Because
slowly, children.
You want to do this frequently, and the reason why is because we're basically in a sandy area. Those things are abrasives. It's just like sandpaper, and it scratches the surface of that plastic or nylon, whatever you want to call it, that's a lustrous fiber, which we call carpet. And as you remove that, you want to remove it before it starts sinking down, tearing up the bottom part of the carpet as well.
So maintain that vacuuming.
Absolutely. You know you're going to get years of use. I've seen the statistics, the test, and you don't need to have an expensive vacuum. It's nice.
That's good.
But just vacuum frequently. You know, the mills want you to vacuum 1 to 2 times a week, but quite frankly, if you vacuumed every day, you'll get, and I would like to say, because my experience is, you can get 15 to 20 years out of a carpet.
Just by maintaining it.
Just by that.
So now you mentioned dyeing.
Yes.
The carpet.
Yep.
Dyeing the carpet. That sounded so
yes.
dark.
Yes, it did.
Anyway, dyeing the carpet. Help me understand that. That's very interesting to me. I didn't realize that was a possibility. I mean, are we talking about a spot that I've screwed up in my carpet? You can actually bring it back?
Yes. Yes. As long as there's dye sites that are still good, we can do that. We do it frequently.
So a dye site, that means the spot in the carpet or in the fiber that will absorb the dye.
Nylon is...
see how smart that was?
Wow.
Nylon. Yes. I didn't mean
there's,
to interrupt.
There's solution dyed nylon, which is, they take a bath and they put the dye in there, so it's internal. But most nylon is dyed externally. they dip it in a red, green, blue tank, and that's your dye. And so when you spill a bleach or cleaning products on there,
that's a bad day.
That's an oxidizer, and it will remove some of the color. We have pet issues that sometimes it happens with. But a lot of times it's just when somebody is cleaning their house and they're accidentally spilled some of the bleach on there. And it depends on the shape it is, how easy or hard. But I'll go and mix a bath of very hot water with the right pH and all that stuff. And we'll blend it in there and make it look good again.
So what you're saying is you do for the carpet world like we do in the paint world. He custom matches.
I guess I was curious about that. You custom match on the site?
Absolutely. There's a couple of different things I can use. Obviously, you use your eye. You know, your eye is a good indicator. But we have plastic strips where we can clear plastic with 2.5% different color ratios. And like a grayscale.
Okay.
You have people who know what the grayscale is. That we use something like that. And so it's a cheat sheet method. And it takes a little training and experience. And you can say, hey, you know, I like this. It looks pretty good. And, you know.
Is that something all carpet cleaning places will do? I've never heard of that before.
Neither have I.
You know, this is why you clean the White House rugs, isn't it?
I really think so. Like I have a passion for what I do. Absolutely. And I've always wanted to, if it's possible to do it, let's go try to do it. You know, and some things you can't do.
Right.
But on the other hand, I've also learned that I'm certified in repair and reinstallation. So I can cut the carpet out, that spot, and put a new piece in. And we do that frequently as well.
See, I saw that on your website. You had photos of that.
Yep.
So you're relying on the customer to have extra carpet? Or do you take it out of a closet? Or what do you do?
Well, you know, yes. I hope that they have a remnant in their basement stored. But if I have to, I'll take it out of a linen closet, which usually has a lower shelf to it. It's a small one, and it hides what's behind it. Sometimes a closet. Sometimes, if I have to, I'll take a register, a floor register, lift it off out of the carpet, and slice that quarter inch or half inch, and join several quarter inch to half inch pieces together to make a small enough remnant or big enough remnant that I can put in that.
You
that
could
patch.
Take it out
that
from underneath the sofa too. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there for you. I'm not an expert, but that makes sense to me. Just
going
to not be, and then the north south vacuuming thing. I'm not going to forget that.
Right, exactly.
5 years later when I'm done vacuuming my house. One last thing. Paint spills.
Okay.
How would you handle a paint spill?
Well, most paint spills
are... paint spill.
Yeah, latex paint. Yeah, that's water-soluble or water-based. And so that comes out. You might want to use a... You got to be cautious because you want to delaminate the carpet, depending how far down it is. Just a lot of flushing.
A lot of flushing.
With the appropriate detergents or whatever cleaning solutions you have.
Now, what we have typically recommended is that we get a couple putty knives or something to get the... I mean, it depends on how much you've got on there. Blot the rest, flush it, and did you say the peroxide again? Was that the magic thing at the
end? No,
need for the peroxide.
Correct.
We can save that.
Yes.
Unless we spill blood in the midst of this, because I probably will cut myself with a putty knife.
Yeah, somehow there will be blood involved.
There is so much that we could talk about. John, why don't you give our listeners your contact information if they want to get in touch with you, give you a call, stalk you, and ask questions about how to fix their carpet. How do they do that?
One of the best ways is just call us, you know, 616-667-8580. That's our office number. Our email address is office@fibercaregr.com. And I think that covers it.
Excellent. John Schremser from FiberCare, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Now, using bold colors in your decorating can be a little daunting, but it doesn't have to be. We've got some tips and tricks to get you rolling out those bold colors with confidence. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, everybody who's listening. And even those of you who aren't listening, you are also welcome.
Yes.
So let those people know how welcome they really are. I feel so magnanimous. Welcome everybody.
Anyway,
this is a best of collection of the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show. Betsy's a little bit sick.
Yeah.
And we ran a big long color and design event and really didn't have time
which is
to
why I'm sick
new stuff together
right so we're doing the best of, and this is one of my absolute favorite segments back from May. Take a listen.
Well, we're back and we've got a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah.
You can hear all the
notes pages
that we've got. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to just jump right in, and let's start with Thomas Jefferson's dining room in his home Monticello.
Yeah, it was originally painted a Wedgwood blue. It was back from the 1930s when they did the testing and found that they thought that was the
original
historically
color.
Accurate color. So it was that color for years, and people loved it. Everybody painted their dining rooms that color.
Turns out they did some more research in the 90s, mm-hmm. and Wedgwood blue was not the original color that Mr. Jefferson chose.
Uh-huh.
Instead of this calm, serene blue, he had actually selected a crazy in-your-face chrome yellow.
Yes.
It's like the face of the sun.
It is.
Was the original color of that room. They repainted it
mm-hmm.
during a restoration in 2010.
Yep.
And the results are literally stunning.
Yeah, it just takes that room to the next level. It was beautiful before with the Wedgwood blue that everybody loves, but that chrome yellow is just a whole new level. It is absolutely stunning.
And that makes our point. That's what we want to talk about today, how a bold use of color in your decorating can take a beautiful room to a stunning room.
Yes.
But the problem is, every time you talk about bold colors, or when Benjamin Moore's Color of the Year came out, and it's this red.
Yes.
People don't know how to use
Caliente.
It. How do we use this red or this bold colors in our decorating without letting it overpower us?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to help you with.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some pretty simple ways that will get you up and running easily with this.
Right.
It will work. You just need to implement them. Now, the first step is to start by discovering what color you like in the first place.
Yeah, you need to find your inspiration. And you need to start right now, even if you don't have a project that you're working on.
Especially if you don't have a project.
Right.
Start
now. It's best to start early, because then you can collect things and really find what you're inspired by. So we always recommend to people that they make a color folder. And this is just something that you put color chips in and fabric samples, countertop samples, anything
magazine
that you're drawn
articles,
to. Yep.
Anything you like and
exactly.
you think, boy, I wish my house looked like this, or I kind of like that color. Put it in the color folder.
Yes.
It's this gathering process. But the gathering process is incomplete without a weeding out process.
Right.
So about once a month, once every couple of months, you go through that folder and remove the things that you don't like anymore, because there's going to be plenty of those things.
Yeah.
And you keep doing that over and over until you get to the point where you're ready for a project. And when you do that, you open up that folder, you're going to find there's color families that are consistently represented. When I did this, I found it's greens, tans, whites, browns, and blues.
Right.
Those are all the colors that I'm drawn to.
Yeah, people are blown away when they look and finally see, hey, there's a pattern to what I like. And it helps so much when you go to that color rack, and instead of looking at 3,000 colors, you're now looking at 100 colors.
Right, just a few families of colors.
Right.
So that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that get us to using bold color? Well, we've got to take those colors and push the boundaries now a little bit.
Yes. And that means, you know, if you're drawn to, like you said, you like blues, and I'm guessing you like more muted blues. I think we've had that discussion before.
Because I'm very conservative.
Right? Push the boundaries. Go for a cobalt blue. Try a navy blue. Maybe even a teal. It's still blue, but it's just that next level of blue. Don't be safe with it.
When you're safe with your colors, you're never going to get to that next level of decorating.
Right.
So even a beige, let's say that's what you like.
Mm-hmm.
You can still push the boundaries by going to some dark browns.
Right.
You know, chocolate browns, or possibly even, you know, rusty reds.
Yep.
Or a caramel color, something like that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Push the boundaries. Now, how do we bring that into our decorating? And here's where we really start getting down to brass tacks.
Yes, the nitty gritty.
Give you actual steps mm-hmm. that you can start with and get great results instantly.
Right.
And the first step, if you're new at all of this, mm-hmm. trying to bring in these bold colors, you start with just a dash of color, just a small amount.
Right. That means you bring in accent pieces, little accessories, things like that, wallpaper. And when I say wallpaper, I don't mean wallpaper the entire room or
and
even a wall.
And the ceiling and the floor.
No. I'm talking about maybe using it on some drawer fronts or maybe on some other pieces of furniture.
Stair risers.
Maybe even art on your wall. That's a great way. I love using wallpaper like that because it's easily changeable when you get sick of it.
Right. Definitely that's a way to go. You can bring in these colors that you like with throw pillows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. Yep. That's simple. Painted picture frames.
Right.
If we're talking outdoors, painted porch furniture would be another way to do that. Or even throw pillows on the porch.
Right. Or your mailbox. That's a great way to bring just a little bit of color. It's just a little bit fun as well.
Mine is black with a lot of peeling and some rust spots.
Right.
I should improve that, huh?
I would think so. Maybe it's time to add a little dash of color out there.
So once you get comfortable with that... there's another step. Now, the next progression. And that's to add more color.
Yes, just a little bit more color. We're not saying go overboard, but you increase the amount. So, you know, maybe you're going to paint an accent wall or the backs of bookcases. It's a great way to bring in color because they can, let's face it, get a little boring if they're just painted a solid color. You could put a bright yellow back there, and then with the stuff in front of it on the bookcase, it just tones it down a little bit so it's not so shocking.
Well, at my house, it will be toned down dramatically because the children use the bookcases for every little piece of junk they find.
Hey, it happens.
It's not just good junk. It's stones that they've picked up off the yard, twigs, garbage, garbage, pop cans. It will definitely bring down that color.
Tone it down.
You're not going to overwhelm your room, at least at my house.
Right.
I could put Face of the Sun yellow back there and nobody'd even know. But that's a great place to bring in more of these colors.
It is. You can also use area rugs or paint your furniture if you have paintable furniture. It's inexpensive to do. Or, you know, if you find a really good deal on a small piece of furniture that is the color you're looking for, go ahead. You know, then you haven't spent a whole ton of money, but you've brought in just a little more color.
I really like the whole paint the furniture thing. You know, the whole go to a flea market, go to a garage sale, wherever, find a piece, paint it. Whatever. I have seen great rooms where they've got, you know, like a teal desk in a modern setting. You know, everything else is gray and black and some whites. And then there's this teal desk.
I love
that. It is so cool. It's so unusual. It's a conversation starter. You can build a room around it, and yet it's not going to overpower the space, no matter how bold that color is.
Right. Now, if you're talking about outdoors and, you know, kicking it up to that next level, paint your front door, paint your garage doors, because people forget about those. Window boxes, shutters, just a little more of that color infused into
shutters?
Your outdoor space.
We just talked about shutters in the previous segment.
That's why I threw it in.
You would want to use a special paint from Benjamin Moore called Revive.
Yep.
I keep bringing that up, but it is such a cool project.
I know.
It's quick. It works so well. And you can have huge impact with that. So shutters would be a great way to go.
Yes.
Now, here's something we want to quickly highlight, because the tendency when you're starting to use more color in your decorating, if you're not savvy with what decorating is all about, you tend to do something that's called matchy-matchy. You go too matchy-matchy. And I did this. This is completely how I would do things.
Yes.
I would bring in a pillow or whatever, a throw pillow, and we would pull colors out of that pillow. There's a blue there. So we match the blue exactly.
Right.
And I use that same exact tone in multiple places in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everything that's in the room color-wise has a counterpart in some of the pieces out there.
Yep.
And I was always disappointed with the results when I was done. It looked cool, but it was missing something. I couldn't figure out what it was. Betsy pointed out when she saw some of this that it's because it's too matchy-matchy. It instead should just be coordinating. So why don't you explain what that means?
You just need variation. So you were talking about light blue. So instead of just going with that color, infuse some navy blue with it, some cobalt blue, some teal. Bring all of them together. They coordinate, but they don't necessarily match. And if you look at magazines, that's what they're doing. If you really analyze, that's how they get that look that we all want.
Right. It's so visually interesting because there's all these different variations on the shade.
Right.
And yet the room still feels cohesive. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it's out of control.
Right.
So avoid the matchy-matchy thing. Make sure you do that.
Exactly.
Now, once you've mastered this whole using more color, now it's time to really go for broke and use a lot of color in unexpected places.
Yeah. It's a great way to, you know, kick everything up and take your decorating from that beautiful to that stunning. So put a fabulous color on the ceiling. Paint your room, you know, some bold color, the entire room.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
talking
like Jefferson's dining room.
Right. Or if you're not comfortable with, you know, chrome yellow, you can go with a gray. That can be absolutely stunning.
Well, that's
or
really
black.
Important. Yes, we should stress that very quickly because we are running out of time. But it's a great point. Bold doesn't necessarily mean bright.
Right.
Like Betsy said, black is a bold color. It's a bold choice. Charcoal gray can be a bold choice.
Yeah.
Even a soft buttery yellow in an entire room that's got a lot of natural lighting can be a bold choice.
Right.
So it doesn't have to just be bright. It's just finding that color that you like and using a lot of it.
Right.
That's the main thing here.
Now, when we come back, Dan's got his favorite segment from the past that he plays.
One of them. One of my many favorites.
Right. And you plan on springing it on everyone.
Because it's brilliant.
Uh-huh. That's next. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. Got one last segment.
Mm-hmm.
I've saved the best of the best of for last.
Oh, good grief.
It's absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to keep that because might as well.
Right.
It's one of my favorites from August. Check it out. Well, Betsy, you have Betsy's Toolbox.
Yes, I do.
As your personal segment.
Mm-hmm.
And I have wanted my own personal segment for a while.
Don't you have your own personal segment?
I did, but
the
it
one
was...
where you do screw-ups?
Yes. I wanted something that more highlighted my brilliance.
Oh.
And so,
mm-hmm.
I have come up with one.
Oh, of course.
And we are debuting it today.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be called, you've got Betsy's Toolbox,
yes.
Which is a boring name.
Uh-huh.
This is Dan's Audio Emporium of Brilliance.
Oh, gag me.
Dan's Audio Emporium of Brilliance.
Uh-huh.
Here is the first episode, or first segment of it. People are going to want a whole show about this when it's done.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Stop stealing the time. We don't have much left.
Okay.
So the first piece of brilliance is concerning hiring a painting contractor. Now, we just got done speaking with Joel about hiring contractors in general.
Yep.
And he had a number of great little tips and tricks and things like that to look for.
Right.
But I would like to improve upon what he said by adding just a smidgen of brilliance to it.
Oh,
now, this is for painting contractors.
Mm-hmm.
When you are looking to hire a painting contractor, there's two things.
Okay.
Everything Joel said is like part one of that.
Right.
Now, there's three things. That's one.
Okay.
Everything Joel said is one.
Yes.
The next thing, this is getting very unbrilliant very quickly.
Yes,
we might have to rethink the name. The next thing is to remember that they are very busy right now.
Oh,
so
yes.
Start your planning right now. If you've got a project coming up, don't wait until you're a month away or two months away to hire your contractor. Start looking right now.
Right.
Even if you know your project is 4 or 5 months away, it doesn't hurt. Some of them are booked out for a year.
Oh, yeah,
easily.
You want to get them right now because even next summer, I'm hearing them talking about how they already have things lined up for next summer. So get on their books now.
Right. Thanks for piggybacking onto my brilliance and sounding smart yourself.
Do you just want me to not say anything?
I was really giving you a compliment.
Oh,
you did a nice job.
Why, thank you.
You didn't stutter or say anything incorrectly. Good job.
Well, of course not. I generally
get an
don't.
A minus for that effort. The second thing, or the third thing, I forget what number we're on.
Wow, where's the brilliance?
Regarding hiring contractors,
yes.
Don't go through the yellow pages.
No.
A lot of extra work and you don't know what you're getting.
Or don't Google it, because that's the other thing people do.
Well, you can Google it for reviews, but don't look for a contractor via Google. Not when you have RepcoLite right here.
Right.
We work with these companies day in and day out. We know who's busy.
Right.
We know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them want to do exterior work. Some
of
them don't. When you come into our stores and you ask us and tell us, I'm looking for a contractor to paint my house, my ranch, or whatever, we can steer you towards the right people in your area who are probably open for the job.
Right.
And who will excel at what you're looking
for. Well, and who has the right size crew? Because some of these jobs take a specific size crew in order to get it done in a timely fashion. So we can hook you up with those
people. You're not going to find that flipping through the yellow pages. You're just looking at slick ads at that point and hoping for the best.
Right.
Talk to anybody at any of the RepcoLite stores. So you can go into the store.
Mm-hmm.
You can call the store nearest you.
Yep.
Or we've got a great feature on our website right on the homepage where it says find a painting contractor. Just fill out that little form.
Yep.
It'll come to Betsy and I, and we will connect with the store in question, the store nearest you, and we'll get you some names.
Absolutely.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
Which is why it's included in this segment.
Of course.
Dan's Audio Emporium of Brilliance.
Right.
On the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show.
Yes.
The second piece of brilliance.
Uh-huh.
Because one is not enough.
Yeah, of course not.
Everybody wants more.
Right.
So the second one is for those people who have a basement full of unwanted paint. Now, lots of us have that. We've got shelves and shelves of paint that we don't know what to do with anymore, right?
Yes.
You move into a house and there it all sits. Some of it is for touch up. Some of it, I mean, in my basement.
Is from who knows what.
Yeah, I've got colors from who knows how long ago. Yeah. I don't even know where it was used.
And you work here.
What do I do with it all?
Uh-huh.
A lot of people wonder.
Right.
I've got the answer, and it's brilliant.
Okay.
At Repcolite, we recycle unwanted latex paint.
We
get this question all the time.
I think I've answered it a dozen times last month. In a new month. Last month, I think I answered it that many
times.
Over
and over. What can I do with my unwanted latex paint?
Yep.
We will take it back.
Yes.
And that's just Repcolite.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of stores will do that.
No.
But you can bring it back to any Repcolite location.
Or Port City Paints. Yes.
That's actually where it all happens.
Yes.
That's where it happens.
Yep.
We make a recycled paint product, Recoat Recycled Paint, out of the paint that you bring us.
Right.
We've got 20 designer colors. It's a great product. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again.
Yeah.
But right now, if you want to clean out your basement, that is a great way to go. Now, there is a charge because of the handling and all of that.
Right.
But we try to keep it to an absolute minimum.
Mm-hmm.
It's $2 per container.
Yeah.
So whatever size container.
Yes.
But hold on. Don't go and pour all your quarts into a 5-gallon bucket to save money. While that's brilliant, it's not going to work because we need the paint to come in its original containers.
Yeah.
And that's only because we need to know what it is before we pour it into our mix.
Right.
So anyway, you can bring that to any Repcolite or Port City Paints.
Mm-hmm.
$2 per container. You don't need an appointment.
No. But no more than 20 containers at a time.
And that's just because it takes some time to go through it.
Yeah.
We don't want you to have to wait and wait and wait for that.
Right.
We'll get it in, get it out of your car, and you can clean out your basement very quickly with that.
Right.
One more? Do we have one more?
One
time
last
for one
piece
more?
Of brilliance.
All right, the third piece of brilliance is for those people who feel they need a primer when repainting.
Yeah, there are a lot of people. Yeah.
We get that question all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, they often don't even ask it as a question.
They just get it.
Get a gallon of primer, and we find out in the course of the conversation that they're repainting a bedroom.
Right.
Well, why do you need the primer? It's important to understand that primers serve a very specific purpose, or a number of them.
Yeah.
For example, they seal up a porous surface.
Right.
So bare drywall.
Or new wood.
You want a primer for that. New wood. They'll block out stains.
Yep.
You know, water stains and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You need a specific primer for that.
Right.
They'll prevent rust.
Yeah.
Things like that. Again, specific primers.
Right.
But if your wall is already painted, you probably don't need one.
No.
You just need to make sure it's clean, dry, and dull, and then put your top coat on. The only caveat to that would be as if you're making a dramatic color change, you know, from a crazy color to a whiter or a lighter color, or from a light color to a really crazy color, then you might want a primer in between to kind of bridge the gap, like a tinted primer.
But
or,
I'm sure you have some brilliant piece of information for
us. I do.
Uh-huh.
You're reading ahead on my notes.
No, I'm just guessing.
No, you're reading ahead. I could see you.
Uh-huh.
It's because you're not as smart as I am.
Oh, right. No, because I can tell what you're going to talk
about. It's because you suggested that I talk about this. Anyway, Aura from Benjamin Moore. It's made to cover any color with any color in two coats guaranteed.
Right.
So that would be the way to go. I would skip a primer if I'm making a dramatic color change and the wall's already painted. Go straight to Aura. It's a little more expensive, but in the end, you're going to save a lot of time.
And possibly some money. The only thing I will say about Aura is if you're doing one of those really brilliant reds or greens or yellows, oranges, they do require an undercoater. So that's the only thing to remember.
So there you go. As much brilliance as we can cram into about 8 minutes.
Yes.
Dan's Audio Emporium of Brilliance. Do you feel smarter, Betsy? Let's just say you do.
Sure.
Because that's all the time we've got. We've got to move on.
All right.
You can go to our archives to listen again, and please check us out on iTunes.
And while you're on our webpage, make sure you check out our new area. It's called Inspirations. It's something that we created that's hopefully going to get you inspired with some unique color choices.
Right. A lot of great color combinations. And what makes ours better than everybody else's
out
there?
And more brilliant.
Right, is the fact that we've got the Benjamin Moore color numbers right on it.
Right.
So you can actually start putting these color combinations together right away.
Right.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And I'll share my brilliance with every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet. Or what? No, I can't do that. The West Michigan. West Michigan. That kind of shoots my brilliance right in the foot, doesn't it?
Yep, it sure does. I didn't even have to say anything.
Anyway, thanks for listening.